Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. Lights, camera, action! Huzzah Goes Hollywood May 17th to the 19th, 2024 at the Doubletree in Portland, Maine. Become a gladiator, defend the Little Round Top, explore dwarven mines, or command a mighty starship. Your fun is only limited by your imagination. Get tickets at huzzahcon.com. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Boston Brick Co. Boston Brick provides LEGO enthusiasts in Greater Boston with a vast selection of used and new LEGO sets, minifigs, Pick-A-Brick, and Build-A-Fig. Boston Brick buys used LEGO too. Visit www.bosbrick.com or call 781-627-7700. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Boston Brick Co. Boston Brick provides LEGO enthusiasts in Greater Boston with a vast selection of used and new LEGO sets, minifigs, Pick-A-Brick, and Build-A-Fig. Boston Brick buys used LEGO too. Visit www.bosbrick.com or call 781-627-7700. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I'm your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is excited to begin a new year of podcasting for all of you. That's right. It is 2024, and we're kicking it off in a very fun way. Joined by a special guest, and we're going to be talking about gaming goals for 2024. So whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, you're in for a treat. Today, we have the one and only Mr. Peter Saloon with us. Pete, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
I'm doing okay. A little chilly, as we were talking about before we hit the record button, but it's all good.
That's winter and new for you.
You know, you would think I'd be used to it, but I'm from the South. So although I've lived here 98% of my life, I guess I'm not used to it.
Just genetically predisposed to wimpiness?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'm from the losing side of the American Civil War, so I think that tells you a lot.
Well, I'm sorry you have to suffer through this statistically mild new.
I think that's what did me in, because there was nothing. It felt like spring. And then, like New England, we got snow. And I was like, wait a sec, there's snow.
Yeah, and then everybody's shocked and doesn't know what to do.
Bread and milk, we must get it all. I think they added something else to that recently, but I can't remember what it is. It's bread and milk and, I don't know, lottery tickets or something ridiculous. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But of course it is, right? Because you can't go with just the 1 gallon you have in your fridge. What if you run out in 8 hours?
Yeah, you got to get to Market Basket at the height of the storm.
So it has nothing to do with the episode at all, but can I just say how great Market Basket is? And I really feel for people who do not have one near them.
Yeah, I mean, Market Basket is like a big part of my life now, I guess. I'm there definitely once a week. I was there.
That is being a grown up and having married life. Yep. I look forward to grocery shopping. Bizarre.
But yep, it's just true. lots of random trips to Market Basket or Family Dollar. Something must be.
Yeah. Oh, and actually that does tie in when you mentioned Family Dollar. We have a Dollar Tree near us, and I will weave that into the episode in a little bit. Okay. And in a way I never would have imagined bringing it in.
Right.
So for today, we're talking about gaming goals. And often, I think people are like, oh, here's a goal, and I just want to do this thing sometime whenever. And I'm guilty of that. I'm sure a lot of us listening are. But one of the things that I've learned from work is that there's a way to set goals, and it's a method called SMART. You may have heard this as other acronyms, but basically SMART stands for setting goals where they're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're relevant, and they're time-bound, meaning you set an actual time frame by when they will be done. And clearly, this has all sorts of, you know, corporate speak in it, I think. But it seems fitting. So this way, you're not just vague booking it all over the place and be like, someday I hope to do blah, blah, blah. And you never really get around to it, because if it's not specific and if it's not something that you set a goal for yourself where there's a deadline and it's actually defined what you want to do, it's so easy to just say, maybe not. And then it just never gets done. Or at least in my case, that's what happens. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that or not, but I see you smile. And I think that's a yes.
Yeah, no, I love that. The SMART acronym. I think that's great. I'm a kind of an organized goal person because I have a lot of projects and a lot of jobs and stuff. So I think I'm actually more religious about this than most people. So I'm always excited when I see other people talk about it because I think this doesn't have to do anything. This is just humanity in general. I think a lot of people want to do a lot of things and they think it is enough to want those things. And then they find themselves disappointed or maybe confused or something, you know, why those things aren't happening. And then when you ask them details about their plan, you know, you kind of find out that there isn't a plan. When your friend wants to, I don't know, whatever it is, get in shape and get to the gym and or whatever. You kind of quickly find out when you're asking, there's no real measurable plan. We always say at work, we say you manage what you measure. I don't know, phrase before, it's not something you made it, but it's another way what you have said. If you're not paying attention to something and how it's going, you're not going to accurately be able to make a plan for management.
I'm one of those people who perhaps delusionally feel that I do better work when I'm under a time crunch. So I will purposely procrastinate on things until the last minute and then power through them. So having defined goals for someone like me is great. So I know what I'm avoiding. And then I can say, oh, the deadline's in 8 hours. What do I have to do? And then I just do it and hope it comes out well. I'm not recommending that for anyone or everyone, but I think it's helpful for some people. And this is going to sound completely stupid, but I think the fact that this acronym is SMART, I think it actually makes people feel good. So when they've done it, they're like, hey, and no, it's dumb, right? But the brain does crazy things where this will give you that, I don't know, dopamine hit or whatever. Yeah, I was SMART. It sounds completely stupid. I get that. But also, I think it works.
Yeah, but people's psychology likes, you know, little wins. You know, I know getting people small wins, things that, you know, for some people might seem pretty insignificant, it starts to build the mentality of, okay, I was able to, so now let's take a bigger bite or become more ambitious or whatever.
Yeah.
I could talk a lot about this type of psychology and mindset because a lot of it comes from people management, organization management, personal management and all of that. I don't know how many books I have read over the years about these topics, about goal setting and habits.
Was it one book?
It was one book and then 100 more books.
Wow. That's a lot of books.
But that's not the point. That's not the point of today's show. We're talking about goals specifically for tabletop gaming, right?
Yeah. And I do want to add one thing because it ties into a core mission here with the podcast. So as I've been pretty public about, I live with anxiety and chronic depression, and having those smaller achievable goals actually is huge for people who live with mental illnesses. And I don't know if you're familiar, but something called spoon theory, which I adore, where like you have a certain number of spoons every day and it costs so many steps to get dressed and this and that or the other. And then eventually you run out of spoons and what do you do? And so for people who have depression or other mental ailments, it can be really hard to get anything done. And so knowing that and knowing how there are a chunk of our community who fit in these areas, I think it's kind of important that we're talking about this and also framing it in the realm of tabletop gaming, which brings us back to the R in SMART because it's relevant, right? It may not seem like it is, but it actually is. And I think maybe it's probably helpful when we're digging into our goals. I have three. I don't know if you have more than three. Three is like a good number. It's just kind of fits with a lot of things. But I think it's helpful when we share what the goals are. And I know we're going to kind of talk about them and everything. But like, explain why it's a goal and what you're kind of hoping to get out of it. Do you have a goal that you want to share? Do you want me to start? Or how would you like to do it, sir?
So I'm happy to start. But my goal is more of based on the metrics of my tabletop gaming in prior years and the rate of improvement that I would like in 2024. So to clarify, I don't have a goal that says in 2024, I want to play X specific tabletop war game with these three by this specific date or at this place or what. I don't have three of those.
Yeah.
The way that I looked at this is I looked at what I thought my tabletop gaming performance of 2023 was. And this is not scientific, but I assumed that or I remembered that I attended three conventions. I think I ran about three game slots at each of them for 4 hours each. And then I played in another game or two session, some type of tabletop game while I was at those. So I did that math and said, there's that many hours. I think I was at 36 hours, games that I ran. And then I added another 12 hours of games. So call it 48 hours for conventions. With me so far?
Yeah, that's a lot, dude.
Well, I'm not done yet, though, because I also go once a month. We do our game night. There's some kind of tabletop gaming. I averaged it at 4 hours per night, even though we're there for longer. I think four is a safe number. There's 12 of those in the year, so that's another 48 hours. So now you're at 96 hours in 2023. Now, there was other stuff in the year. I know there was. Probably another 20 hours stuff, but we'll just call it 96 hours of some kind of gaming happening. I'm not unhappy with that number. To be honest, I never measured it before, so I don't see how I could be unhappy with it. But I decided ambitiously it must increase 20% in 2024.
Wait, so how did you come up with the 20% increase?
Because I said that's probably enough and I don't have to increase it. I was a reasonable person. I said, no, screw it, 20% more.
Okay, no, that's
greedy and selfish and ambitious.
Yeah. Your reasoning aligns with everything I know about you. So
it means essentially another 20 hours has to come from somewhere in 2020. So you have to figure out where 20 more hours of gaming, in addition to repeating the same numbers of 2023, comes from, right? So you got 12 months to do that.
Yes.
It's not that bad when you break it up over 12 months. If I did 2 extra hours a month.
Okay.
I would exceed my 20% growth. That makes it seem pretty easy, right?
Okay.
So that's now that I'm thinking about that out loud, 20% is not ambitious enough a goal because 2 hours a month is...
Well, heck, you should double it or something.
Yeah. So if I did 4 extra hours a month, meaning I ran or played in one extra game per month the entire year.
Okay.
Right? Which I think is doable. It's not easy, but I think it's doable. It would be an additional 48 hours and it would be a 50% increase.
So is that what you're intending?
I would have to be voted the most improved gamer of 2024, come December because I did a 50% increase.
Dude, I would have to say that's far better than anything I will ever do. I don't know how much solace that is, but sure.
So I looked at this in a different way than I think maybe you might have or some people have, but I look at it as this is the output of gaming and it can be any gaming that kind of falls into this category. I'm not counting playing a video game by myself. I'm not counting stuff like that.
I'm also called out right now.
Well, I do know that people who play a lot of video games, whether it's console, whatever, when I'm talking about 48 and 96 hours, they're like, yeah, that's what I did last, on these games. So I understand that's a different, totally different can of worms. So I figure out how to run one extra game a month or a long session every six, something like that. And I easily, so that's my plan and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, so that's official then.
That is official that I am announcing it here for the world to hear.
Yes.
I will say I'm not afraid of failure.
Hey, but you can't succeed unless you fail from time to time.
But I think this is doable. I have a lot of other gaming stuff in the fire this year that doesn't count as playing. I'm doing a lot more writing, a lot more editing, a lot more other work for like publishing pursuits and things like that. And that's probably going to be hundreds, if not into the thousand hour mark in the year. And I'm not going to count any of that. So
yeah,
at some point I do run out of daylight.
So what are you going to sleep and eat? That's just what I'm kind of curious about.
I sleep and eat a lot, both of those things a lot. So somehow I manage. Oh, okay. I'm going to manage.
Just because you're a busy guy.
I get up really early.
Well, Yes, you do. But then you don't know what to do with yourself at about like 8:48 in the morning. So I don't know.
Well, normally I get up very early and go to work. There are rare mornings when I get up very early and I don't go to poor law.
Yes. Okay. No, that sounds really cool. I admire you for that. And I encourage you to do whatever you need to make that happen.
I'm going
to
go for it. There are a couple of things that well, one in particular that is a specific game I want to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll get to or not because I got to find people who are in doing it and I have not done that. But I want to play like a 4+ player, large format game of Song of Blades and Heroes. Okay. Either probably at a Redemption game night would be the best place for me to find enough people to do it. Mm-hmm. But I want to do that at some point this year with like a bunch of terrain and a bunch of different individual war band, do a little bit of teaching for anybody who hasn't played it, but you know, find some people who have played it and enjoy it and do like one big session of that, like multiple scenarios or like one big complex. I'd like to do that. I have no idea if I mean large for that game, which would be like 4 war bands or like 6 would probably be huge and we'd have to take over like a big 6 or 8 foot.
Are you talking like 50 models?
No, I think probably, you know, point spread is different depending on the factions and stuff like that, but I think you'd say probably there'd be like a dozen.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Have you thought about going up in scale?
No, I haven't because I just feel like I'm dreaming big that I'm going to get that achieved this year. With the models that I have, and I'm starting to just make crap up if I think I'm 5 times.
Well, you know, once you accomplish this, you could always go up and do like Classic Toy Soldier scale or 54 mil or.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take my victories as they come. And then in December, I will review this math again and we'll reconvene. And who knows? Maybe I'll be a better gamer at that point.
I'm laughing, but I'm really admiring you for this. It's just.
I will have enough spoons left for. Large format 50 model. I'm trying to circle back to your.
Well, you know what you need? You just need larger scale spoons, like 54 millimeter spoons.
I'm just going to buy a ton of spoons.
Just buy gigantic spoons, ladles. Right. Get all the ladles in the world.
Right back to the dollar store reference, right?
There's
plenty of spoons. It's like $1 for 100.
Yeah, just everything ties in here. Almost as if we would plan this, which of course we don't because. That's not what we do here. And if anyone listened and thought we did, I direct you to listen to the other 298 episodes of the podcast. Don't. Some of them are bad, but hey, the first, I don't know, year or so was rough going. I admire anyone who actually listened to that and decided to continue because, ooh.
I've listened to a lot. I don't know if I've gotten back to the first season.
Probably
really
not.
Listen to total, or, you know, I think. By and large, all the ones very well done.
So the first season or two are my holiday special, Star Wars holiday special.
Okay.
I mean, mine is the whole Boba Fett cartoon, but otherwise, it's just Lumpy running around on Life Day. Oh, so bad. Although there's a documentary out now that did well at Sundance, all about it. It's really fascinating. And
I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna do like a deep dive somehow
into Star Wars holiday. Special.
No, into season one, Jonathan Reinhardt perfection.
Good luck finding them. I think I have the only copies now.
All right.
They'll just stay hidden.
I'll just have to imagine.
Until I edit them and destroy the originals, like NASA. That's why we don't have the moon landing originals or original Doctor Who episodes. Come on, people. BBC and NASA. The tape's too expensive. We can't keep the original recording of the moon landing. Come on. Although I did send them the podcast. Yeah, that's why I did it with the podcast, because I'm, you know, saving those electrons. That was the reason, not because it was awful. That's so bad. I'm just thinking back. I'm amazed I didn't let that discourage me and just say, hey, I'm done.
You've got persistence, and I admire that. Wildly off topic.
I was going to say I'm just too stubborn or too dumb to know the difference. But 19 years later, here we are. 20 this August, so.
That's amazing.
Sure. Thank you. No, the polite thing to say is thank you, and not let my brain chemistry say, oh, okay, sure. So I went in a different way, which I'm used to. I tend to think differently from a lot of people, and I set really specific goals that are kind of examples of a more vague but larger sort of goal that I would normally set. So, for example, my first goal is I want to find a good home for the Yamashiro Mountain Fort terrain that I have, and I want to do it by the end of the calendar year of 2024. This is terrain by Things from the Basement. Great terrain. I loved it. I built it. I painted it. Did all the terrain styling. It was so much fun. And it's been like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years sitting here, not getting used. So clearly I need to do something with it. I'm just taking up space. I'm not going to use it. And I want to find a good home for it. But the larger thing is I'm realizing that, and this sounds morbid, but you know, we only have so much time to do stuff. Mm. And if I'm not going to be using this stuff, why am I hanging on to it? It's just taking up space. It's a cluttering the place, you know?
Yep.
And so I want to just kind of, in general, sort out, go through my gaming stuff and sort it out and see what I need and what I don't. I have a bunch of old 1990s issues of White Dwarf magazine. Don't need them. They're just sitting there. What am I doing with these things? Don't need them. Old rule books that are out of date for games I don't play. I don't know why I have them, but I do. But the Yamashiro Mountain Fort seemed like a good one to put here, as I kind of alluded to it before.
I just looked at it.
It's gorgeous.
The basement site, and it's really awesome. If you've got that whole setup there that I'm looking at, and it's
all painted,
certainly. I don't think you'd have any problem finding somebody who would actually put it on a table and do something with it. I think it'd be easy to find somebody that would use that. I can think of people off the top of my head. Our buddy Mike comes to mind right
away. Already offered it to him.
But other folks, you know, in the convention scene, I could running some kind of scenario, feudal scenario, or heck, something totally, you could even do modern stuff on that.
You know? You could do anything with it.
Yeah.
It's very gorgeous stuff, well-designed and durable. It's great. It's just, I'm not using it.
And that's really a shame. Just having stuff that's nice that isn't serving a purpose to me is just like for myself, it's like get rid of that, you know, give it to someone and do something with it. Get the clutter out of your life
and, yeah,
you know, bring some happiness to somebody else who, you know, doesn't have it and would actually use it. And then when they are in the same position as you and they're just staring at it, they'll kick it down the road to the next person.
I think Marie Kondo would approve. I don't know if she's relevant anymore, but
she would, if it's no longer sparking for you. Yeah, she taught me how to fold my underwear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if she knows that.
Way of folding shirts, I think it was.
She folded all sorts of stuff in strains, and some of it I couldn't get behind.
But, yeah.
Yep, quite a talented. I heard her house is a mess.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
Yeah. See, she wrote all those books before she had kids.
Yes, she did.
And then she had kids, and she was like, I'm an idiot.
It's funny, though. She wrote a picture book, which is actually really nice. So for your little one, you should head over to your local library and see if they have the Marie Kondo picture book.
I didn't know that. I'm going to write a note down.
I don't remember the name. Well, now I got to look at, I work in a library and this is what we do. And then she did another one. It's not a picture book, but she did another one for the businesses. Oh, they did a manga of her. That's interesting. Oh, here we go. Kiki and Jax, The Life-Changing Magic of Friendship by Marie Kondo. Oh, and Selena Yoon did the art. Oh, that's awesome.
I
spend a lot of time in kids' literature when I get excited by an illustrator or an author. I'm like, so did.
There's like a picture of her reading it to her on this.
Yeah.
It's very wholesome.
It's from 2019, so before pandemic. I'm curious how she's doing that.
Yeah.
Going back to one of our core things here at the show, she stopped doing the Netflix show because she had extreme anxiety about it, about being on camera and doing all this stuff. And so she was like, I can't do it anymore.
Huh.
I am impressed that she was able to set that boundary for herself and stick to it, because I think that was hard for her. But,
yeah, she probably turned down a good amount of money.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. It was the number one show on Netflix for a while.
I know that. My wife and I watched all of it.
Same here. Yeah, it was good stuff. Now I kind of want her to come here to my house and help me do this with all the gaming stuff, that we could just film it and offer it as like a Patreon special or something.
Yeah, I think I know what the outcome would be, though. You know,
oh, I think so, too.
A lot of stuff would be going away.
Oh, see, I was going to say she'd say no and be like, why are you bothering me?
that That too.
Go buy my book. It tells you what to do. No, I'm sure she's perfectly nice. She might think that. I don't think she would actually say that. That would be, but I can. But yeah, so I need to declutter and see what sparks joy in my life. And
that's important.
But yeah, that Yarmouthshire Mountain Fort, beautiful, but it's just sitting there. And actually, it did serve a purpose for me. For a period of time, I realized that painting and building terrain made me happy. And so I would do it as like self-care. And I would just paint and build stuff.
There's somebody listening to this show that has an idea. Whoever you are out there, start bugging John.
Wait, people listen to this? I thought it was just you and I.
No, it's you and I, and Jake listens to about half of them.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
What up, Jake?
But that's it. So if Jake
wants, do you want a Yarmouthshire Mountain Fort?
I assure you he doesn't.
No, he probably does not. Although he does Blade Runner, he could use it in a cool cyberpunk sort of thing.
That's true. Stuff for that. He's not a terrain guy. He's very theater of the mind type of style.
That drives me crazy. I need the eye candy because I'm a manager, although I don't know if I can call myself that anymore, which actually ties into one of the other goals that I have.
What's the next one?
So my next one is, and this is happening, 99% positive it's happening. I want to bring my family to one gaming convention by June of 2024. I believe I'm going to surpass this. So the plan is right now, barring sickness or act of God or whatever, that my family will be coming with me to TotalCon February 2024. And that'll be the first convention for my kids where they've actually been old enough to understand what a convention is. So at the last time they came, we didn't have the youngest, so that's more than 5 years ago, and the eldest was a toddler. She had no idea. She's just bopping around and running and like, oh,
right.
So she may have been three, maybe.
Yeah. So and
she's gonna be nine in February. So
I think, and I just saw some stuff being shared around online. I believe it was about. I think TotalCon has stuff for kids.
It does.
I don't know if you're planning on having your family like. Just attend like while you are at the convention or if they are attending the convention themselves and doing events and stuff. But I think that there are events that are like 9-year-old appropriate. Mm-hmm. I've seen them myself there. So I think that could be great.
Yeah.
Depending on what they're into. The other thing is the location of TotalCon, which is in Marlborough, Massachusetts. If for some reason they weren't really feeling what was happening at the convention at that particular time, that general area there has about a million that could be done outside of the convention if that were
not. No, you're right. And I'm not saying they would do this, but my wife's aunt and uncle live maybe 15 minutes up the road. So they could always just call and say, hey, what's going on? Do you want to see the girls for a little bit?
That would be, that's something they could do if maybe... the things they were signed up for weren't for that particular morning or whatever. There's also this, I don't know if you know about this place, Apex, which is literally across the street.
Yeah, I've seen it, but hotel. I didn't know what it was.
It's like a huge, like a gigantic Dave and Buster's type kids place thing. It's got like go-karts and your tag. And
oh, that's cool.
All bowling alley, just everything. Check out the website.
They would love that. Huge.
It's like a amusement park type thing.
I believe, so my wife is not really a gamer. She likes to play Mario Kart from time to time, but otherwise she's not into the whole tabletop gaming sort of thing.
So tell her to go to Apex. They got Mario Kart.
I think the plan is that they were going to go hang out in the pool a lot. And both kids I know would want to play a game. We have not gotten the badges or signed them up for anything just because they're kids and they change their mind 5 million times. So kind of figured they'd be there at the con. They can go and look. And if the eldest... They don't have games for the youngest, but if the eldest wanted to play in anything, just get her a badge and then I'd go with her and go play whatever it is. And
they also have that video game room. I don't know if your kids are video gamers, but they have that video game room down that hall.
Yeah.
I've poked my head in there like probably once every convention that I've ever been to. I've just like looked in there and there's always been 10 or 11 kids playing, whatever type of.
Yeah, they just started to get into video games. I have an Xbox, but they love obviously Nintendo kind of games. And so my work has a lot of Nintendo Switches that you could borrow and video games you can borrow. So I brought home stuff. They've been playing Nintendo Switch like crazy, and they might be into it. But yeah, so it seemed like a fun thing to do as a family, kind of give them a chance to dip their toes in. And both of the girls want to be on an episode of the podcast. So,
wow,
I'm sure that would be fascinating. I don't know what we were talking about, but it'd be interesting. They've done videos for the podcast before, which has been a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. And
so I wouldn't be surprised if they might want to pop down during one of the live recordings, watch a little, realize it's just dad talking, get bored, and then go out and do something else. But still, they'd have fun.
Yeah, so you're going to get that goal out of the way in February. I mean, you don't even need till June if you're already planning to go to totals. You're going to smash that goal.
And then this is still in the works, but also intended to go to Maine in May for Huzzah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they would come to that too. And Portland's just beautiful. So much to do. Again, they'll do the pool thing or whatever. And I mean, it's not so much for kids that age, but just kind of be around it all and everything, I think they would enjoy. And just kind of split the time between gaming and then doing stuff with the family.
That's awesome. I know that's been a good thing for me. It's allowed me to do more gaming than I otherwise would, because I don't really love taking off on my family, you know,
yeah,
more weeks and months of the year than I have to for work and all that. So mm-hmm. It's definitely made it better.
Yeah.
I would say they're not going to come to every convention with me, and nor would I want them to, because I don't think it would particularly be the most fun in some cases for them. But
yeah,
we get to like one together a year. There might be others in the future. Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do. Get them involved.
Yeah, I mean, they're interested in it. They're kind of curious about what all of it is, and they like to play board games a little bit. And then also, and this is selfish, but I feel a lot of guilt when I'm away from them, as if I'm abandoning them all. And obviously, that's not what it is. It's in my head. But this is kind of a nice way to bridge all that a little bit. So it covers many different aspects. See, that's my anxiety at work, where I think of all the potential problems and how can I address every single one of them.
Well, you're figuring it out.
Yeah. But it seems like it's a good thing to do. And also, it seemed like a good thing for the podcast, because a lot of us here are parents, young kids, older kids, adopted kids, whatever sort of family you have. And I don't know, it fits. We're all people, right? Except for those who don't identify as such. But
yeah, I mean, and even before I had kids, when I would attend conventions, I would notice that there were families. And that families would sign up for games. The way I would notice this was like on the sign up sheets when you run games that send you like signed up, and you'd see like three or four last names that were all the same. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, this is probably not a coincidence. They're probably related. then when you'd meet them, it would be like, you know, in some cases it would be I can remember a husband and wife and two kids, like teenage kids. And they were like, yeah, we just all signed up for this game because there was room and wanted to play this game together. And I was always struck by like, wow, that's very far away from my experience growing up, with gaming and stuff like that. And isn't that nice that you've got teenage kids who are usually at a time in their life when they typically don't want to have anything to do with whatever mom or dad think is cool. And you're getting to spend some time on a weekend together. And that seems, you know, pretty valuable to me. And now as somebody with a child, it's like, wow, whatever those people were doing, they really figured it out. because that's going to be hard to pull off.
Yeah. And I mean, just think, it's a huge honor actually it did to you that out of all the games they could have signed up for at that time period, they chose yours. So something about yours really spoke to them.
Yeah. And you know, it may have been, hey, there were four spots open. It could have been as simple as that, but I will choose somehow through the internet. We're just excellent.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you didn't have the sign at the table that said, I am excellent.
No, I did not. That wasn't printed up yet at that time.
I should get you one of those. We'll see if I can get one in time.
Some kind of blinking LED sign would be helpful.
Yeah, you know, that I want a megaphone or something for running games. That seems really useful.
I have needed one.
They get so loud. It's rough. I mean, yay that so many people success, but also it's hard. It doesn't number on your voice.
Oh yeah. Okay. So that's goal number two. And it seems like it's in the bag, man.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I don't want to say because.
Yeah. Talking about barring here, unforeseen circumstances.
But also
you have it planned.
I am loudly and literally knocking on wood So I will move the mic so it gets actually into the podcast episode. Knock on wood.
It's official.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to have that in there. And then my last one is because considering that I'm a gamer, I don't play games, which is really humorous.
Yeah, I hate to hear that, but I hear it a lot.
So I remember someone once telling me that, and they meant it jokingly, but they're right, that I can't call myself a gamer, that I'm someone who talks about games. I talk about them, I don't actually play them, which is sad and also honest. So my third goal is to play just one, and I tell you, this might be difficult for me, but just one solo war game by Thanksgiving of 2024.
Do you own one?
I own many, and they're right behind me. So I've got a growing number of GMT war games. A lot of them are still, you know, unopened, still wrapped up. Things I've gotten, they do something called the P500 program, where basically you are pre-ordering and pledging that you're going to buy the game. And once they get to at least 500 pre-orders, they will then go and make the game. So it's all done. They just have to go and publish it and get it printed and everything. And this allows them to actually do it, because if there's not enough interest, they know where their margins are and everything. So if it's not going to get to where they need it to be, they're not going to publish the game. And so this way they know, like, oh, 800 people want the game, 1,000 people want the game. They'll go and do it. So that way they're not going to go out of business. And the games are high quality. They're really well done. And I have a lot. So I have, there's a bunch of World War II submarine ones that I have, which are really fun. They're solo play where you're the captain of a submarine and you go out on patrol. There's one I just got called Yes. What is it called? It's like Yes, Prime Minister or something like that. And there's a Mr. President. They're both political kind of games where you have to deal with not having enough resources to do all the things you want to do. I have a shortened version of Twilight Struggle, which is a Cold War kind of game. Another one of those, like, not enough resources. They're really cool, but you need space for a lot of these and you need time. So it's not something I've done as of yet, but they're here. I have them, and it would be nice to use the things I have before I get anything new.
So let me ask you, because I don't know about solo wargaming at all. Mm-hmm. You have the game.
Yep.
Or sounds like maybe one. Does that mean you have everything you need to play that game, or are you still out miniature or maps or terrain?
So these are, think of them like a board game, where you have all the tokens and the chits and all that sort of stuff, and the maps are all in there. And then they have in the rules, tables or charts or whatever for what happens. You roll a dice, and if you get a six, then this happens, or you look at another chart and see what it is. And then it tells you specifically how the game reacts. And then some of them, they have in-depth, they call them bots, although it's all pen and paper. And so it does all the other stuff. So that way you're actually playing against something, even though you're the only one playing.
Right, but the reactions are generated by die roll and table.
Yes.
So you want to hear my opinion on your goals here? Because I think I have a strong opinion.
I think your strong opinion is they're too easy.
I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I think that you can have all of these goals done by the end of Total Game. And I have absolute confidence. I bet you could have two of these goals.
You are ambitious.
I am. But I'm going back to what you told me about the SMART framework, right?
Yeah.
And in one of the things, the A is achievable in your acronym, right? And these are all achievable goals.
I hope so.
I think the time bound thing you did was you were way too generous with yourself. And I'm only saying this because I think that what I could do is I could convince you to accomplish these and then set like three more goals for the year. But I think you could give away the mountain terrain this week or next week. I think you could play that solo war game next week if you put your mind to it and you told your family, like, hey, I wrote this down as well. I'm giving myself till Thanksgiving. Let's just get it out of the way. I think they'd be like, cool, we'll go out for lunch. You play the game or something. And then all you got to do is go to TotalCon and you just, boom, done. You're officially a gamer. You've set goals and achieved them. You're generous and have donated or you could even... You could sell the terrain too. You could even make some money back on it. I would feel bad for myself if I didn't try to light a fire under your ass for these.
No, you should.
These goals.
I'm a firm believer in under promising and over delivering.
Well, okay. So, right. And that's what you've set up to do.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is, okay, over deliver and then make new promises, because instead of having three achieved goals, you could have six or seven if you can knock them out.
I will tell you, the one I think that's going to be the most difficult for me to actually get done is the third one.
The solo war game. Yes. How much time does that take
to actually play?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, set up, play.
It depends on the game. Maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, depending on the game.
That's a lot. I mean, I know how hard that is, like, by yourself. It's not, it can't just happen at any time. You have to make a plan for it. But if you were like me, which I do not suggest you become like me, you would say that has to be done. And so I will do it from 8:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. on this date, and it will be done. If it's not done, I'm a failure, so I better go do it.
Well, see, I already know I'm a failure at everything, so that takes care of that.
No, I'm just kidding. No, the real important thing there also is not just to play it to say that you accomplished. I think that's sort of self-defeating, right? Like,
yeah.
if you don't feel like playing it and enjoying it, like, then to be honest, I would just say cross it off.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's a game. Like, certainly don't take my sarcastic advice there, which is force yourself to do it in the middle of the night. Hey, if that's what's fun for you and you like staying up late, then by all means do it. But yeah, you got to be careful with stuff like that. Like, I'm going to force myself to play games. Well, you can, but I would suggest you keep gaming happy as well. You know? So I guess you got to find the time when you think it's going to be okay. You're going to be able to sit there, be calm about it, not think you're neglecting something else in your life during that time, right? Like, your kids are in the other room, making a racket because you're in the other room playing this game, and then you feel bad and now you're not enjoying it. It kind of defeats the purpose of having games in our life, right?
Wait, so you mean I should actually feed my kids instead of playing the game?
You should.
Whoa, that's crazy talk.
You should send your kids somewhere with your money where they will be fed for the afternoon and whatever other entertainment it is they require, music and movies and ice cream or whatever.
I'll just send the 5-year-old go walking down the street. He'll get the thing. I mean, it's not the 80s anymore.
They'll knock on somebody's door. Someone will take them.
Yeah, just bang on some doors.
But yeah, overall, I think without stressing too much about it, you could have all these goals. I'm confident.
That makes one of us. Well, I appreciate your confidence, though.
I'm gonna bug you about it.
I'm gonna
bug you not to be a pain in the ass, because I think you can do it.
I hope springs eternal.
Yeah, I can really hear the confidence in your voice.
See, I know me, which is a problem.
All right, so it's time to get to know the new you that just crushes these things and is like, oh wow, that was too easy. I'm going to switch that A in smart from achievable, ambitious, keep on. Do I sound like a life coach yet?
A little bit. Is that your new new endeavor you're going to do?
Just for you.
Just for me? Cool.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah, I'll send you the bill.
See, I thought I was being ambitious by setting a June deadline for one of these.
I think you are. I mean, you know, and you got to put time on it. If there was no time on it,
it wouldn't happen.
Like this one where you put by the end of 2024 for you. Mm-hmm. Your first goal, but I mean, their goals for 2024. So of course, of course it is by the end of 2024 that would be the time. So I think there you were worried about, well, who do I give it to? I'm not sure who to talk to. Do I give it away? Do I sell it? You know, all that.
Yeah.
That goal's got to be moved up. End of 24 is way too much. That's a cool thing. I know you can find some.
I kind of cheated too. I'm going to admit, cause I've already started on that goal last year. And I had a really hard time completing it.
All right. I've got a suggestion. We start on the TotalCon discussion group, and we start by taking pictures of it, talking about that it is a goal that you are ambitious to achieve in your gaming life, and that they can hear all about it on this episode of Wargaming Recon. And we'll bring the terrain to TotalCon with us to make the exchange to this person who's going to give it a go.
Oh, let's not get crazy. I got to fit a bunch of Lego in my car and my kids.
Jonathan, I'm hearing excuses here.
And explanations. There's a difference. Do you know how much space this Lego takes up?
I do. A lot of space. I do. I believe this is a hurdle we can overcome with our combined brain power.
Okay.
All right. I've made you uncomfortable enough on your own podcast.
No, that's good.
Do the goals whenever you want to do.
Being uncomfortable is good because that's how you grow. It is.
I agree.
No, you're completely fair in saying that they are very, very, very easy goals to accomplish.
I mean, they might not be that easy, but I think you could do them. And I think you could do them quicker than you think, but they might not be that easy. I know how hard it is to find, you know, solo time in your life, you know, with all the things you have going on. That's not that easy.
Do you know what? I will make a pledge here. I will pledge that if all three of these are done in a reasonable amount of time, whatever that means, I'm keeping that vague on purpose. So that,
okay.
No. Not as a combo, but like if reasonable means it's done in 3 weeks, hooray. But if reasonable means it's done tomorrow, then even better. You know,
okay, all right,
that I will then come up with new goals. And I also have goals that I didn't put in here, but goals I have for the podcast that are separate.
See, so you got a lot of stuff you got to get done. So even more reason to just smash all these out and just get on to the next.
What's that hashtag going around? New year, new me. I think that's the one that was trending on Twitter or whatever they call it now.
I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, me neither.
But whatever hashtag you got there.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we'll slot it in with my, I'm just looking at my pile of Lego I need to build. Actually, I got a lot of stuff I got to build for the game, actually, at Total God, the Star Wars Lego game. That'll be fun. And I'm not even running it. That's half the fun. I don't have to worry about it.
That's pretty cool.
I just got to show up and be like, here's a Lego. And I'm guessing I'm going to be there to help. But just like, here you go. I'm not even the one running it. My name's not on it. I don't have to worry. It's great.
It's cool. You get to take a lot of pictures.
That's the hope.
Very cool.
I think it's sold out too, actually. Although now I should double check that I say that. Some of the people who actually signed up right away for it, it was this couple who played last year and they loved it so much, they just jumped on it. So that was pretty exciting. I wish we could fit more people in it though.
Let me check. I'm just writing Star Wars.
Sold out.
Battle of Hoth. Yep. 4 players, right?
Yes. Oh, and someone is on the waiting list. Cool.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely imagine people would be on the waiting list. Really cool.
There's another convention that wanted this game brought to them, and that didn't work out. I know they were very sad about that.
Yeah, but it's totally cool. It's eye-catching. It's right on, you know, the most popular IP, you know, that it could possibly be on, and it's perfect. There's a ton of conventions that would want that there. Maybe. It would be amazing if you could get more than 4 people, but I know how hard that is, and all because you just have to scale up everything. Unless maybe there's a way you could divide out.
Well, I'm wondering, like, running multiple sessions of it.
Oh, yeah. I would. I mean, that just comes down to who has the bandwidth and the energy to do it. But if you had 2 or 3 sessions of this at 4 players each, I'm sure they would all.
Yeah, I think they probably would. No, it's a fun game. It's fun doing it. It's sponsored, which is kind of nice. So made it a little less expensive. So that was helpful. No, it's all good things.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I'm now just checking no reason.
Well,
sorry, that is not. No, that doesn't pertain to this episode.
Dude, you're all sold out.
Yeah, but this is early.
What's a yeah about? No, you're sold out. Hooray, not yeah.
Yeah, but typically, just from my experience, what happens when they open up tickets, event ticket, is almost every game fills up because people have this mad rush, get in the stuff or I'm going to miss it, and they all fill up. Then things start to happen over the next month or so. And usually about like 2 weeks to a week before the game, you'll start to see your players drop off. So your full games will go down. So like if I have 5 players, I'll go in one day if I'm checking and it'll be down to 3. But then as like the few days before the convention begins, they'll start to fill back up. So you don't actually know how good you're going to do till like kind of right. I've never had a problem getting players because there's so many people that come that to play. So I know that I'll have, basically the way I look at this is I'll have between 3 and 5 players at it. Of course, there's always stuff that happens last minute too. Flat tire or doesn't feel good or, you know, COVID has been a thing. All that type of stuff. So that's kind of the way I've seen the ebb and flow is they always pack right after ticket sales open and then they kind of trail off and come back again.
That's fascinating because that has not been my experience at all.
Oh, that's always been my experience for RPGs and it has been the experience of other GMs that I talk with and run games with.
So every single, except for one, every other game that I've either run or helped someone run, if it's sold out right away, it stays sold out and the people comment, it's whatever. There was two games. One game where no one signed up for it, and then people showed up and said, hey, this was cool, and they played. And then there was one other one where it was sold out, but there was a gigantic snowstorm coming that day. And so all but one
that was 2 years ago, right?
Who signed up for it, this is like 5 or 6 years ago. They lived up in like Vermont, New Hampshire, whatever, so they had to leave early. And so then we lost all but one player. But otherwise, luckily, I guess, when the game sells out, it's been solid.
Yeah, I would see that more for miniatures games too, because like you know what you want to play.
Mm.
You know, if you want to play a Star Wars Lego mini, my guess is you're not going to change your mind and move to something else. In RPGs, I think what happens is people go like, oh, my friends are in that game. Oh, and there's two open seats in that one. But oh, but it's at the same time as this game I'm playing. Okay, I'm going to drop that one and go to this.
No, that makes sense.
Whatever their reason. Not a big deal.
Do you want to do a plug for your games in case any openings happen to come up?
Sure. I certainly do. And I have them right in front of me.
So we're talking about TotalCon 2024 at the Best Western in Marlborough, Massachusetts. And
That's correct. Is
February, blah, 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 to February, blah, blah, blah. You'd think I would know the dates.
Last weekend in February.
It's school vacation week.
Yeah, so it's Thursday the 22nd through Sunday the 25th is the official hours. I'm not going to be there the whole time because I'm traveling with family, but mm-hmm. I'm running games Friday night at 7. I'm running Savage Worlds game that I wrote, Shadows of the Sacred Hills, which is also going to be published very soon. And Saturday at 1, I'm running a sci-fi Savage Worlds game called The Icelian Hybrid, which I also wrote and is going to be published, but not as. And then I'm running Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm running Shadows of the Sacred Hills, a second session, so Friday. So if you're going to sign up, don't, because you might be.
Or maybe they just want a second chance.
Yeah.
Do things differently.
Maybe it's so good that they come back for, just another round.
Hey, why not?
But yeah, at the very least, now you know where I am. You can come say hi to me. And like I said, we infrequently have extra seats pop up, can accommodate. If not, we introduce you to other people that we know that are running games that probably have seats. So be shy.
And then I'm doing a few things at TotalCon. So the Saturday at 10 a.m., Pete is going to join me. We're doing a live podcast recording. Going to be doing it in the seminar room. So that should be fun.
I don't know where that is, but it is somewhere.
It's easy to find. But we're going to talk about how to successfully run a game at a convention based off our experience, tips and tricks for what to do and how to learn from mistakes that we've made so you don't do them too. And that should be cool. I know of at least one person who's going to come and watch at least some of that and maybe ridicule us for part of it. And then at 11 o'clock, doing another live podcast recording, going to do it with game designer Jay Parker. He's an industry guest of TotalCon and going to be talking about Katana Ra, which is his new cyberpunk-ish game set in Field Japan, put out by Works Games. And so he's going to kind of dive into that, and that should be a lot of fun. He's actually running a session of that for grown-ups only on the Saturday night. And then And when he says for adults only, I mean, he means it because it's intense. Just from knowing him, I haven't played in any of the stuff, but just from knowing how he is, he puts disclaimers in for a reason.
Good. That's what they're there for.
And then I'm not running, but I'm helping. And this is sold out. But who knows, maybe something to show up. Battle of Hoth Lego style. John Caputo is running it, and I'm going to be helping him with it, I believe. So I'm providing all the Lego for it. There's a lot of Lego. It's taken over my game table, which is why I can't do a solo war game as of yet. And I need some time because that's where I would game and it's covered. But anyway, this is just going to kind of be a tongue-in-cheek sort of fun game where we use Star Wars Legion rules and be 2v2, Empire versus the Rebel Alliance. We know who the good guys are. Whoever you're thinking is probably wrong. And what? I'm very clear on who should win this. And this game is also sponsored by Boston Brick Company. They're our event sponsor for the game. They're a really cool Lego reseller down in Weymouth, Massachusetts. And they just have all sorts of really cool stuff. And we were able to get some of our things there from them as well. But you get to see who's going to win, the Rebel Alliance or the Empire. And I know who I want to win. And I know who did not win last time. And they should have, but they didn't. So we'll see how it goes this time. But it should be fun. Just kind of casual. Sounds great. Yeah. Even if people can't get into play it, I highly recommend just popping by to check out the table because it'll be nice. And I know that sounds like I'm just like, haha, look at my stuff. But anyone who's ever spent 5 minutes with me will know that's not how I am. I always ridicule myself. So if I'm saying something good, it's just a thing. But we're using the Scarebox Battle gaming mat, which is really cool. They picked one for us from their lineup that they said would be really good for this. And just get the stuff going. So that's going to be the Saturday at 1 o'clock. It runs for 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm running a game at that time, but we have breaks kind of fitted in. So I'll definitely have to run over and check it out and see what's
going on. And so the nice thing about TotalCon is everything is in one building and relatively close to one another. So it's really easy to go back and forth.
Yeah, nothing.
No, but so that's my pretty light schedule. I purposely did not sign up for anything because the family will be coming. Keep it nice and easy.
That's a good way to be.
So if people want to keep up to date with what you're doing, because you mentioned some stuff that's going to get published, how can they do that? How can they find out more about that?
So right now, today, they can't because everything is in the kind of pre-launch stage. But I think like the next time we talk, like over the course of the balance of January and the February, the social media stuff should be stood up, and at least the first product should be available via DriveThruRPG. All the licenses in place, so like I don't have to worry about not having permissions or anything like that. I'm just kind of working through all the red tape, like royalties and things that have to be established and correct, you know, actually pull the trigger things. There's some print template stuff that's really kind of weird. That's all happening. It's happening every day. And so pretty soon we'll be able to maybe have a conversation about what that all looks like and what people expect if they're interested.
That sounds amazing. So it won't be too long before someone can say, shut up and take my money.
Yeah. And then I will just take money from it and shut up.
Cool.
Because, you know, you get into this stuff for the money.
Yeah, because you're going to be rich, right?
Yeah. It's just the easy money.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I podcast. It's so I can have this lavish home with all these things that I do when I'm not working or being a husband and father.
Yeah. I'm surprised, you know, I don't know why everybody else does. They just don't get
it. I mean, it's so easy. You just do it. It just works, right?
No effort at all.
None. It just happens. You sit there and go, and next thing you know, you're a millionaire.
Check shows up. Yep.
It's just right there. Yeah.
But yeah, it's exciting stuff. Yeah. Hey, it would be great to, you know, break even. I think it's exciting stuff. I get to work with a bunch of people I've got to work with in the last, like, 5 years.
Cool.
And so it's very close. I'm still just like a little bit premature here. And I think, you know, in another month or 6 weeks, I really want to have stuff up and running prior to TotalCon. That would be really great because then at least I could kind of view that as my sort of debut of that. And I could talk to people.
Yeah. And then you can tell them how they can get a copy of the game.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because everybody who attends a convention just wants a sales pitch game. I know that.
Hey, so that's a marketing of me. Podcast means I got to hype something, right? And it's not going to be me. I'm not going to talk up me. I'm going to talk up other people.
Well, we'll leave it to you then.
You will be sure. I will pop around and be like, do you know this guy published this thing? And you can get it. And here, just scan this QR code and then you're golden.
That's the idea.
Hey,
no, it'll just
if
be.
You're not going to do it. I will do it for you.
We'll see.
No, that sounds really good.
I do have, you know, as a caveat of this, you know, stuff that it doesn't preclude my enjoyment of the sort of gaming part of my life. And I keep an eye on that. And so that point that I have to, it's something I enjoy a lot. And I don't really want to push it to a point where that enjoyment reduced because I'm under pressure to put out something.
No, I think you're very smart to do that. There was a point a handful of years ago, Adrian and I were approached about taking the podcast and going big with it. And it would have involved us actually publishing some games. And we had ideas for stuff. And then we decided that's not what we wanted to do because then it became a job and it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it depends. And, you know, sometimes hard work on stuff you're passionate about is fun. It is real. I'm not going to say that that's not the case. In my regular job, I do stuff that I think would be considered very hard work that I enjoy, and I don't always feel like I'm working. But I want to be careful with this because I have the habit in the past of taking hobbies and passions and turning them sort of hyper-competitive things. And you just got to be aware of potential burnout.
Yes.
You know, that's trying to detect it before it's there.
Yeah, you don't want to burn out. It's not good.
Yeah, certainly don't.
No,
but I'm not there yet.
No, I think you're on a good path, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I hope I can share more kind of clear things very soon after some ink dries here.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. And people should know as I find out stuff that I'm allowed to share, that'll get shared somewhere on socials or whatnot. And you can find all the stuff for Wargaming Recon. We're Wargaming Recon on all the things that you can want to look at, and there'll be fewer moving forward because that's one of my goals for the podcast, to not be on all the things, but to be where the community actually is and not where the new cool thing is that people think they might be at. And they're not really there. I'm looking at you, Blue Sky, Mastodon. So that's what we have. And any other last words for people, Pete?
No, set your goals. It's January. It's time to set your gaming goals and go knock them out of the park.
Yeah. And so after you do that, then you can write into us and say, hey, I did these. Why is Jonathan taking so long to do the goals that Jonathan put in the podcast?
Yep.
I think that's what you got to do.
Chase Jonathan about his goals.
You got to shame me into getting them done.
Shame him a lot.
I was about to say something really controversial, which I'm glad I did not. It almost eked out. So that's just going to stay firmly stuck inside my head. I've gotten burned too many times. And you would think by now I'd know better.
So. We're going to call it hashtag game shame. That'll be how we address you via this, okay? You're going to have game shame until all three of these things are accomplished.
I firmly expect you to actually use it, and I will laugh if you start putting it in text messages. If you just send me the hashtag and nothing else. Because that'd be hilarious. I mean, come on. Just random time of the day, he shows up. Oh, look, a message from game shame. Oh.
Still haven't done it.
That'd be great. Well, thank you, Pete, for coming on this episode of the podcast. I am excited to see you do not 20%, not 40%, but 50% more gaming than you've done in 2023. I'm holding you to that. I think you're too ambitious. You need to moderate, and I need to become a little more ambitious in mine. We need to even each other out a little.
All right.
But I'm excited to see you do 50% more gaming, whatever that looks like. I don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be cool.
I don't either. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, and everyone else, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Glad to be here for 2024 with all of you. Hope you had great holidays and winter season and that you're ready for a lot of fun and activities happening in the tabletop gaming sphere. So remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're thinking, why the heck did Jonathan take so much time for these darn goals when clearly anyone could get them done in, a month? You have to keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. Lights, camera, action! Huzzah goes Hollywood May 17th to the 19th, 2024, at the Doubletree in Portland, Maine. Become a gladiator, defend the Little Round Top, explore dwarven mines, or command a mighty starship. Your fun is only limited by your imagination. Get tickets at huzzahcon.com.